Letters.
On Europe's single market, Israel and genocide, the death penalty, shipping sanctions, and lawn bowls.
Doing business in Europe.
Vladimir Dluhy, President, Eurochambers, Brussels. Charlemagne rightly criticised the European Commission for a lack of rigour in overseeing the national enforcement of European Union rules that are designed to provide a level playing field for Europe's citizens and businesses, January 13th. Our recent business survey found enduring barriers to businesses seeking to trade in other EU member states. These include differing contractual and legal practices, varying national rules for service providers, and non-intuitive tools that are supposed to help firms understand and comply with these divergent requirements. Nearly three-quarters of the entrepreneurs at a Eurochambers gathering last November said that the single market is not sufficiently integrated for them to operate and compete freely across the bloc. Meanwhile, the EU continues to churn out legislation without adequately considering the specific and cumulative effect on European businesses trying to remain competitive in extremely challenging times. While gathering input for his forthcoming high-level report for the European Council, Enrico Letta, a former Italian Prime Minister, has detected a sense of single-market fatigue among senior politicians and officials. When it comes to entrepreneurs, it is more a matter of single-market fatalism, as they have become resigned to accepting the frustrating obstacles to doing business in neighbouring countries. These frustrations are felt more by smaller companies without the in-house capacity to understand and adapt to differing national rules and requirements. Jacques Delors famously said that nobody falls in love with a common market, and indeed, technocratic discussions over how to ensure that member states stick to EU rules are not going to get voters rushing to the polling stations in June's European elections. Nevertheless, implementing the details are critical to reviving the single market, an EU achievement that we take for granted at our peril.
Israel and Gaza.
From Jane Simpson, Canberra. You set out arguments against South Africa's case accusing Israel of genocide, article Show Trial, January 20th. But you did not tackle one large question regarding intent. What does the Israeli government want to happen to Palestinians when it finishes its war on Gaza? Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister, has rejected a Palestinian state. Offering Israeli citizenship to the Palestinians is not likely, because they would then have the same rights as Israelis to lease land and could claim protection against harassment and the confiscation of their land by other Israeli citizens. If Israel occupied Gaza, it would be responsible for rebuilding the territory, paying for food, medicine, shelter, education, and so on. Either full citizenship or full implementation of the responsibilities of an occupying state would require great generosity on the part of the Israeli government. Or is it the unstated hope of the government that, in the name of humanitarian concerns, the Palestinians in Gaza and the occupied territories should be voluntarily moved to other countries? This would appear to breach Article 2 of the Genocide Convention, which forbids deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part.
Alan Deckers, Brussels. Your leader was strangely schizophrenic. On the one hand, it casts doubt about South Africa's allegations by asserting that Israel is targeting Hamas fighters rather than ordinary Gazans. On the other hand, it states that the death toll in Gaza raises grave doubts over whether Israel is complying with its obligation to distinguish between civilians and combatants. Make up your mind, which is it?
Alabama's execution method.
From Rick Hoag, Associate Professor in Neurology and Neurosurgery, McGill University, Montreal. Nitrogen hypoxia per se is not an inherently painful or stressful experience. Article The Economist explains, January 27th. In fact, what makes pure nitrogen so dangerous is that a leak which displaces enough breathable air can cause death with virtually no perceptible symptoms as the victims lapse into unconsciousness. For this reason, facilities using gases like nitrogen or helium are required to install alarms that warn of dangerously low oxygen levels in the event of a leak. The problem with Alabama's execution method is that the active participation of the prisoner, in the form of volitional breathing, is required to administer the lethal agent. This is worse than ordering the condemned prisoner to push a button that will initiate his own death. It is more akin to the plight of a drowning person, who will hold his breath, knowing a rapid death will ensue when he can no longer do so. The intense and primal drive to breathe, which makes suicidal hypoxia by breath holding physiologically impossible, is presumably one of the reasons why waterboarding was considered by the CIA to be such a compelling threat during sessions of enhanced interrogation. Notwithstanding the near universal condemnation of capital punishment in democracies, the experience of a prisoner during the initial minutes of this procedure can be expected to resemble that of being waterboarded or forced to maintain a painful stress position under threat of death.
The Panama Connection.
Patrick Burnson, former Executive Director, Supply Chain Management Review, San Francisco. Some mention of the ongoing abuse by foreign-flagged vessels to aid rogue countries breaking the law was warranted in an otherwise excellent article on illicit global maritime activity, Ghost Ships, January 6th. A bipartisan group comprising members of the U.S. Senate Committee on Armed Services recently sent a letter to the Panama Maritime Authority asking it to investigate the scores of Panamanian-flagged vessels that are suspected of transporting Iranian oil in violation of American sanctions. The sanctions imposed on Iranian oil in 2018 and 2019 were designed to cut off a significant source of revenue that the regime uses to fund terrorist organizations such as Hezbollah and Hamas, cartel activity, nuclear proliferation, and other nefarious activity.
No one wants to bowl alone.
From Michael Cook, London. Regarding your article on the decline of lawn bowls, article Bowling Over, January 6th, one of the pleasures of my last job was visiting many bowling clubs in southeast England. Although these clubs lack diversity in terms of ethnicity and demography, they do provide an important place for the elderly to socially interact. Bowling clubs provide a secure place for older people to meet up, be it a green work party, a formal county game, or a simple roll-up, an informal game of bowls, not a hand-rolled cigarette. Bowls England needs to jack up its game.